BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
I'm back. Hello, this is the Scott Mills Daily for Monday. On it, we talked to Greg James in Uganda about the project for Comet Relief we're helping this year. Steve Backshaw comes in to talk about what part he played in it and also tells you how to make your dog yawn. Try it. I get hooed by loads of listeners, which I was expecting. And thanks so much to my friend Chris for writing some food reviews in my absence on the internet while I was away. Oh, this is weird. Good afternoon. It's Scott Mills here. Scott Mills?
Hi.
Please, not yet. Oh, my password's not working. I can't remember it.
And
you're
getting,
weeks.
Mate, you're getting roundly hooed.
I know.
Welcome back.
It's so nice to be back.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So good to be back. I can't tell you how excited I am.
Oh, it's so good to see you again, Krabby.
Thank you. All right. Obviously, I was expecting this. Actually, the first thing I thought when I woke up this morning was like, yeah, there'll be some abuse at 1 o'clock. And sure enough, there is. Yeah, you haven't been on the radio since 2005. Where are you? That's from Dominic in Cardiff. Reese in Norwich says, this is what I love about Radio 1, giving inspiring new Radio 1 DJs a chance.
That's quite good. That does make you sound like the Paul McCartney to Kanye West.
Yeah, I feel a bit like that.
You are. You're Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just get all this out of the way, right? Because I know you will need to get out of your system. So
this is the big comeback, is it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Disappointing, isn't it? Right, okay, let's just take some calls. And then we can all just carry on with our day, all right? Radio 1, who's this?
Hello, it's Adam.
Hi, Adam, it's Scott Mills. All you can do.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you. I didn't expect that who from that voice.
No.
Did you?
No, it was like a Scooby-Doo who.
Either way, no.
Yeah,
no. Either
I've
way,
got plenty more hoos. Kind of where that comes from.
Well, your first one was a bit pathetic, so I suggest you try again.
Oh.
No.
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. What's wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Hello, Radio 1.
Hi, it's Lisa. Who's that, please?
Who's that? Scott Mills. All right. Finish now?
This is little who at the end.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
I knew this would happen. Hello, who's that?
It's Connor.
All right, Connor.
Leeds. Who's that?
The presenter of the show, Scott Mills. Can you not do it any longer?
I'll go on then.
It's literally everyone.
I didn't expect it to be this much. Feel better now?
Connor?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, gotta go. Love you, bye.
Cheers, Scott. Thank you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Sugar, yes, please. Maroon 5 on Radio 1. Katy Perry called and wants her riff back.
It is a bit, isn't it?
It's a slowed down version. Is it Last Friday Night?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, she won't be listening. She'll be in bed after Super Bowl, innit? So it's all fine.
Now, did you watch the Super Bowl last night?
It was on when I got in from Glasgow. Good to see Gethin Jones having a lot of fun. Come a long way from that national lottery, isn't he? But yeah, I didn't actually stay up to watch Perry, but I caught up today.
Yeah, I know that you like to watch the show, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't really care about the American football.
No, but like everyone in this country, I just want to see the halftime. No one actually cares about it, do they?
Oh, it's nice to have you back.
What do you mean?
It's just nice. It's like a comfort blanket.
Is it?
No, that sounds weird. I've prepared music for your return.
Okay, when are you going to get that then?
Keen.
Also, can I say to Katy Perry, she has nicked the idea of those sharks that she had on the stage.
Yeah, like, what was that about?
I have fish that look pretty much the same as that on the Strictly tour.
Oh, I was wondering how long it would take you to bring up the tour.
Yeah,
now you've got your new friends.
When I'm doing the... Oh, don't be like that. When I'm doing the crab, I've got exactly the same.
I think whilst you're at Radio 1, you shouldn't be talking anything to do with Strictly Come Dancing or the tour
it's
or the people on the tour.
3 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
Do you want not to talk about it at all?
No,
yeah?
Because you're away from that now. You're here. You're at Radio 1.
It does feel good to be back.
Game face. Radio 1 head.
I know.
Not crab.
I know. And it's actually nice to feel like, oh, I can do this. There's something I can kind of do. It's really good.
Bit of music.
What have you got?
Mark Your Arrival.
Okay. Daddy's home. No! You know how much this grosses me out. Daddy is not home.
Seemed like a funny idea, but now it sounds pretty weird.
Oh, I don't like it.
No, nor do I.
No, it's your idea.
Kind of regret it a little bit.
The Scott Mills Daily.
It's Scott Mills here, and Steve Buckshaw's here. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scott. Can I say you're a lot less orange than the last time I saw you?
Was that at the Strictly Come Dancing final?
It may have been. Yes.
Yes, I was so orange. I've actually toned it down for the tour.
Very wise. Yeah. So you're less orange as a crab.
Yeah, I was going to say, toned it down, but still wearing the crab outfit.
Yeah, every night. It's good to see you, my old dancing pal.
Likewise.
Now, the reason we're here today, it's always nice to see Steve. Last time you were here, I think you were getting spat on a lot.
I was doing quite a lot of spitting too.
And you were also doing a lot of spitting. But as you know, if you've been listening all this week, Greg James is live from Uganda for Comet Relief. Now, you were there a couple of weeks ago, weren't you, Steve?
Yes, that's right. I went out quite early in the project to... basically, they got me in as pest control because the place was absolutely rife. It was infested with rats, with bats, with nasty stinging wasps. And so they sent me in to get rid of them all.
Wow. So what we're trying to do is we're helping to change and save thousands of lives by generally improving healthcare for various communities across Uganda. It's really kind of impossible to tell you or show you all the healthcare issues that they're having there. But what we can do is tell the story of what's happening at the health centre that Greg's at, the Eola centre in eastern Uganda. It's basically lacking everything you need to run a health centre: electricity, running water, adequate medical supplies and equipment. Mosquito nets are also few and far between. And that means, obviously, if you don't have one of those, then pregnant mothers and newborns are also at real risk of contracting malaria. So before Greg went out there to kind of help with this clinic, you were sent out there just to kind of swipe the whole area clean.
Yes, that's exactly it. And it does really bring it home to you quite how bad things are in this area. On, I think, about the third day that I was there, a mother turned up on the back of a motorbike. She was already in labour. She'd been in labour for a few hours and had gone 20 kilometres over a non-paved bumpy road on the back of a motorbike to get there. She gave birth at about 1 o'clock in the morning in this medical centre where there is no power, no running water. Above your head, you can hear the bats fluttering around in the loft. It stank of bat guano. There are stinging insects everywhere, rats running around on the floor while she is actually giving birth. The whole thing taking place by candlelight and lamplight. And I guess, although it is horrifying, the great thing is that we can do something really tangible to make a difference here. Mm. And even in the few days that I was there, you could see things starting to improve and see things starting to get better.
Right. OK. What was getting better? Because that must be really nice to see.
Yeah. Well, when I turned up, like I said, the place was alive. We walked into the main buildings, actually, and it had this stench like going into caves. Like, quite often I, as a naturalist, will go into bat caves because they're a great place to film wildlife. You know, the bat droppings is so rich in nitrates that it attracts bugs, creepy crawlies, centipedes. And so I deliberately go into caves like that a lot to film. And that's what the inside of the medical centre smelt like. And I went up on my own into the loft, and it was just alive. And people are giving birth to their first babies underneath this just horror hell house of ceilings, like I say, that were alive with bats and rats and bugs.
Yeah, and you're saying that they can't even see it because of the light, the such poor light in there, that they can't even see this horrible stuff that's...
You can't see it, but you can smell it. You can smell it. And, you know, the local people, they know what it is. I tell you what, I went up into the loft and there was a barn owl flapping around inside the ceiling. And the local people were terrified because they have this local superstition that if they hear an owl calling above their heads, that it's an omen that somebody is going to die the next day. Right. And people are going into this health centre to get better when they're sick and they hear an owl calling over their heads. And yeah, so it was it was, I guess, a very uplifting feeling because I could see how things were going to change. If we get behind this, as so many people are doing, then we can make a massive difference in this place.
I remember when I was in Uganda a couple of years ago, and we did actually go filming into some of the hospitals, and just some of the conditions that people are trying to get better in, it's absolutely awful. Like, you can't even imagine. We're going to speak to Greg in Uganda again after 2 o'clock. However, if you would like us to help change people's lives, it's in your hands, really. Just text the word HELP to 70703, and that will instantly donate £3 to Comet Relief. Or you can go to the Radio 1 homepage if you can afford to give more, and you can give any amount on there. All the terms and conditions you'll find on there as well. The money you donate is covering the cost of this clinic that we were just talking about, but it doesn't stop there. It's also going to, I promise you, help to improve healthcare for lots of other communities across the continent of Africa. So if you can, please keep texting HELP as much as you can afford to 70703, and that will donate your £3 to Comet Relief. It will do such a lot to help. HELP to 70703. Steve Backshaw, will you stay around?
Yes,
I'll have another little chat after this.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Steve Backshaw is here. Hello.
Hello.
Now, we're going to play a little game with you in a minute, which we actually did with David Attenborough just before Christmas. Now, you might think it's a lazy game, Steve. Maybe it might sound to you like it was a pub idea, because it was. But we think you must have a story for all of the animals. So we did this game with David Attenborough. What happens is you just pick out an animal at random from a hat that I have here and share your best story.
Okay, all right.
I think it sort of stems from the fact that you're the kind of guy that basically when you're in the pub, you have a story for everything.
Yeah.
Yes, I would hope so.
Fair to say, right?
Although, can I just point out there are at least 2 million species of animals in the world.
All right, Steve, well, let's give it a go. Like, because you're tough and all that, how do you cope when you do something a bit pathetic, like stub a toe or get a paper cut?
Great question.
Well, I've also done 10 years of kids' television as well. So I'm ridiculously well-trained, and I don't swear. I will actually go, crikey, or zounds, or something like that, or oopsie, which is a bit embarrassing.
Now you come to mention it, all the time I spent with you on Strictly Come Dancing, not one blue word came from your lips.
It's the truth.
But in the privacy of your own home.
I've just realised. No, you don't, do you?
I don't. No, I really don't.
He is not a swearer. Wow. But what about if you stand on a plug?
Seriously, it would be something like, oh, cripe. Oopsie.
I love that. Are you scared of anything?
I wouldn't say I'm irrationally scared of things, but I think in our job, the things that are most frightening are first and foremost people, and then it tends to be big, unpredictable animals like hippos, elephants, which are really intelligent, a little bit sneaky, and will do what you least expect.
Right. Mm.
Do you get man flu?
Of course I do. Yeah. Surely every man does.
You're still a person.
Yeah, no. I'm just interested, you know, high pain threshold and all.
Are you one of those people, Steve, that thinks you can actually talk to the animals?
But to a certain extent, you can.
Okay.
There's absolutely no doubt that you can communicate with animals. I mean, I'm sure people communicate with their dogs or with their cats. Mm. I mean, once you understand a few simple things about the body language of a particular species, then there is no doubt that you can communicate with them. You can't have a lengthy conversation about the football scores.
No.
But it might happen. You know, we are learning the communication of dolphins and higher primates. There's no reason why in a few years' time we might not be able to have conversations like that.
That would be so good. Imagine talking about the football with a dolphin.
I know, that would be good.
Cool.
It's going to happen at some point. So can you take me back to a time where you've had a convo with an animal and you've been like, yep, we both understood each other there?
Yes, I can, actually.
Okay, good.
Right, okay, so I was... what would be a good one? A good one would be I was running down a beach in Australia and I had a dingo, which is a wild dog, fall in at my heels. And we played together running down this beach, completely wild dog, for at least 2 hours. And it was interacting with me exactly the same way that a domestic dog would do. And picking up on all the same signals from me that you would expect Fido back home to do. And at the end of the run, I got back to where I was camping and it trotted off over the dunes and stood at the top of the dune, looked back towards me as if to say, that was fun, let's do it again tomorrow.
Oh, wow. give you a little wink, like, yeah.
It did, yeah.
Let's do it again. That's so good!
Have you ever had that experience, Scott?
Not so much. No, I haven't.
With an animal?
No, I haven't.
That's not really where... The closest you've come, I think, in my experience, is when... Do you remember when you had that wolf's head? And
yes.
You would...
Well, that was a fancy dress. That was a fancy dress outfit.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you know, like, the big bad wolf, and you've got a nightie on, but you've got a massive, wolf head. Sometimes... after a couple of drinks, maybe I did sometimes put the wolf head on and just look from my bedroom window and shout at passers-by, pretending that I was an actual wolf.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, next question. Can you pass a yawn on to a dog, for example?
Yes, absolutely can.
You know, when everyone's tired and it kind of catches on, it's like a chain thing. Like, ah.
Yeah. There's a lot of science that suggests the primary cause for yawns, the primary cause, is not biological. It's not because you need to get more oxygen into your body, but it is a social thing. And especially if you look at our closest relatives, you look at the primates, the vast majority of their yawning is done either to bind social bonds or to express dominance or as an intimidation measure. And try it. Sit down with your dog and try yawning, and they will pick it up.
This is incredible if true.
It's purely contagious.
So, and what about cats? No?
I've never tried it with a cat.
Okay.
But give it a go.
So, if you're listening to this right now and you're going to go home later and you do have a dog, try and make your dog yawn a bit later. You start it and see if it carries on.
Cats are generally much, much less social animals than dogs, so I would think
But they don't care unless they've got food, do they really?
Exactly.
No. Let's not go on about my theory on cats because we've done this before.
Yeah.
Right. They don't care about you. What's more difficult, working with Ola Jordan or a scorpion?
Scorpions are easy to work with. Oh. I'm not saying that Ola isn't.
Oh, God!
Now, in all seriousness, people tend to think that you're crazy whenever you work with things like spiders and scorpions and snakes. But the little secret is they are the easiest animals to work with. They're totally predictable. You know almost exactly what they're going to do in every single situation. They're a piece of cake.
Yeah. Okay, so should we do our game now where Steve just picks it randomly out of the hat and gives us a story about the animal?
I get to pick, do I?
Yeah, I know this I know this is going to be good.
Well, should we let Chris pick?
Go on.
Okay, I'll pick them out.
Right, here we go.
Steve Batchel's with us on Radio 1, and this might sound like a pub idea. It is.
It is.
But we've written some little names of animals down, put them in a hat, just pick them out and tell us a good story.
Okay, right. Ready?
Ready.
It just says lizards here. It's not lizards.
That's pretty. Yeah. That's pretty
quite,
general.
Assorted
quite wide
lizards.
That, isn't it?
Okay. Well, we're talking about the communication idea. There are some kinds of agamid lizards that live in Africa that communicate with each other by doing press ups. The males will sort of bob their head and do a little press up, and if you get alongside them and you make the same gesture with your fingers, they'll respond back to you, and you can have a chat with a lizard.
No, Steve, I'm not having this.
Seriously, it works.
You're telling me a lizard does press ups?
Absolutely.
What next? Pandas and roller skates.
Right, next animal, crocodile.
My best crocodile story would be doing a bite test gauge on a saltwater crocodile, which has the highest bite force of any animal on the planet, and it being a bit bigger and a bit stronger than I imagined, it grabbing the entire pole, picking me up and slamming me against a tree while testing its bite force. And I also didn't get to find out what the bite force was because it took my pole and my bite force gauge, and there was nowhere I was going into the water after it.
See, I just feel inadequate now, don't you? I mean,
I know.
We don't. Neither of us have stories like that.
Scott, have you got a story about a sperm whale?
No. Have you, Steve?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Sperm whales are incredible creatures. They are. They have the largest brain of any animal, the deepest diving of any animal, the longest time underwater of any animal. I think probably my best sperm whale encounter was having a female sperm whale. We were free diving alongside them and having her bring her calf, her baby that was no bigger than, I guess, a cow, up to us to introduce it to us, to show the calf what we were, to show us what human beings are.
Wouldn't
it
that be
extraordinary?
Great? Wouldn't it be great to like be that person that's like, well, I think my best sperm whale encounter.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry, that's exactly.
No,
that
but it
sounds
awesome.
So pretentious.
No, but it's brilliant.
All right, last one.
Last one.
Beaver.
Beaver. Okay, what would be a good beaver story?
Do beavers vary around the world?
They do. Yes, we have a Eurasian beaver, and there's also the American beaver. Beavers actually are really interesting because they fundamentally alter ecosystems by bringing down trees, which can create ponds, which themselves can attract invertebrates, which attract a whole different array of life. They can change an ecosystem, just one big rodent, and they are a big rodent, and they're incredibly valuable animals. But we've mostly encountered them in North America. You see them all the time. You just see what looks like a massive rat with a paddle-shaped tail gnawing alongside a tree, and then it just goes...
This is so good.
It's good. He's good.
Loads of people have just been fake yawning at a dog in passenger seats, and they have done it back. Quite a few people are saying that. I've just made my dog yawn. That's from Sam. Scott has obviously never owned a cat. Well, no. I've just driven back to uni in Oxford with my two dogs, just yawned, no reaction as yet. That's Abby on the
Keep
M6.
Trying.
Keep Stick trying, Abby. It. It's going to happen. Steve, thanks so much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Remember what we said about the clinic that Greg is at, which Steve went to a couple of weeks ago. If you can afford to text the word HELP to 70703, that will donate £3 to Comet Relief. The money you donate is covering the cost of that clinic, but it will also help to massively improve healthcare for lots of other people and lots of other communities across the whole of Africa. So please, if you can, keep texting HELP to 70703 and donate your £3. Good to see you, Steve.
Likewise, Scott.
See you
I look
soon.
Forward to seeing you on tour.
Are you coming?
Yeah, I'm going to come and watch. Of course I am.
When?
This weekend.
Okay, I'll try and be good. No promises.
Fantastic.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
So, I didn't watch the Super Bowl last night. I saw a bit of Gethin Jones wanging on at the beginning and then went to bed. I don't understand it.
No.
Well, like, none of us actually care about it, though, do we?
Some people do. Some people pretend to.
I liked it that in all the ad breaks, they were like, here's where you can see some American football in your nearest arena. So,
yeah.
Like, obviously, they're trying to drum up some interest.
No,
all I care about is Katy
Perry.
No, you
can't say that. There's massive interest in the Super Bowl.
Is there?
I know for you, but that's the thing. In the Super Bowl last night, the bit for you was the Katy Perry bit, right?
I know that Americans like it, but...
No, it's getting bigger over here, definitely.
Nice to see a good interview with Snoop Dogg.
He claimed that he was in one of the shark outfits.
I don't think that's true.
But I don't think that was true.
So, Katy Perry, let's break it down. Sharks, yep, real nice, real nice. Loads of outfit changes, which I liked. However, there's one thing that I really thought was missing.
What's that?
Outfit-wise. Do you remember when Katy Perry first got invented and she came into this show on Radio 1? And we dressed her up as a full-on lollipop lady.
Oh. Yes.
Are they still on?
Yes, I think so.
Right, with the stop sign and that.
But, I mean, yeah, there are lollipop people about.
Really, though?
Yeah. Yes. What's wrong with you today? It's like your first day back. You've decided, right, I'm going to go through all the things I've been banking up since Christmas in my mind. Just things I've been thinking. The Steve Backshaw interview was a little bit weird at times.
What do you mean?
Some of the questions.
Like what? What, can you make a dog yawn?
Yeah, where'd you get these from?
I liked it. I've just found the picture. I don't know how old this is. It's probably 4 or 5 years old. Of Katy Perry in the lollipop lady outfit. I'm going to tweet this right now and let me know what you think. But I think that she could have rocked that last night. It would have been so much better.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
This is big. On Wednesday on the show, our guest is Stephen Fry.
Mm.
How good is that?
What a legend. What a legend.
Stephen Fry is on this show on Wednesday because BAFTAs on this Sunday. And he's hosting again for the 10th year.
He's a tricky one because, a bit like Steve Backshaw, he's the kind of person that makes you feel a bit inadequate.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you aren't as clever as him.
A couple of fairly intimidating guests this week.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward for you to hear that. Stephen Fry on Wednesday on BBC Radio 1 on this show.
Have you met him before?
I have at one... event before, but he won't remember that, of course.
Right. You know, whilst you've been gone, obviously you've been kind of out the loop. I've been having a bit of fun whilst you're away.
Okay.
Do you remember ages ago I would write reviews in your name for various frozen foods, just
because
I could
on the website that rhymes with Piceland.
Yes. So I would go on and review, say, a beef garland, that kind of thing. But I'd give it a glowing endorsement from Radio 1's Scott Mills.
Yeah, yes. You actually wrote loads of reviews about the prawn ring for a while, I remember, on their website.
Exactly. So, yeah. So what I thought is, whilst you were gone, I was having a bored moment. And I would do some all about crab, because, of course, you're playing a crab on the Strictly tour. So I reviewed various crab items. Would you like to hear?
Can we do this after 2:30?
We can do. Let's do this after 2:30.
I don't quite know what you mean. What, you've just been on loads of... crab food website.
Oh, this is so good. You haven't heard about this at all?
No.
Oh, I can't wait to share.
Okay. Right, we'll do it after half two. The Scott Mills Daily. Good on George Ezra for giving this one another chance. It's really good. Casio, please don't.
Do you remember? No, it's got to be done.
No,
it's
please done. Don't.
Do you remember when I said we're running out of music?
Oh. Okay, it does sound a bit the same. Come on now, let's get together. As the Wurzels. Right, okay, that's probably why it wasn't much of a hit last time.
Also, maybe we shouldn't have mentioned it again.
But he's doing good now, and that album's huge,
yeah,
so...
So he won't mind.
Just a quick comparison to Combine Harvester by the Wurzels won't hurt him.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, you know, all this week, Greg James is in Uganda. He's there for Comet Relief. We already spoke to Steve Backshaw on the show earlier. He was there a couple of weeks ago as well. Aiming to save thousands of lives by improving general healthcare and communities across Uganda. And this week we are telling the story of what's happening at the Eyolwa Health Centre in eastern Uganda. It's just lacking things that they really do need to run a health centre. No electricity, running water, medical equipment and supplies are very short. It's really dilapidated, this clinic. And it's currently being renovated by a local team and will become a fully functioning healthcare facility. So the money you raise from this not only covers the cost for refurbishing this whole clinic, but also helps to improve healthcare in communities across Uganda. Some of the conditions there are absolutely awful, so poor. And the money will train up medical staff, and that in turn will provide mosquito nets, which, as you can imagine, are in real short supply, and also provide some life-saving vaccines as well. Greg is there in Uganda now. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Scott. Nice to speak to you. How are you?
I'm really good. It's nice to be back. How's it going over
nice
there?
Nice to have you back.
I know that you're with a guy called Joseph now, aren't you?
Yes, we are. So, Joseph, welcome to Radio 1. Say hi to Scott.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So Joseph is a local teacher, and Joseph, tell us a bit about why you decided to get involved with this project and lend your assistance to it as well.
Yeah, I got involved in this project here because I can first of all say one day when my wife wanted to deliver, so when I brought her here for help to deliver, I couldn't make it. There was no enough help. So I rushed her very far. That is in Toro Town. So now that's why I say no. When these people came here to help us, construct for us, maintain for us the health center, I said I must be involved to construct this health center in the good standard they have made its plan in.
So you decided after your wife gave birth to lend a hand here because in future, for future generations and for other births and everything, this will be a wonderful place for the community and a safer place for people to you know, be poorly or to, you know, to give birth in. That's why you're here and lending your support to it.
Yes, of course. Now, even right now, the health workers are now working very hard because of people. When you brought for this service here, they are now working very hard in hand. Even others are producing now from here. Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole community are very much excited.
The whole community are really excited, and we've chatted to so many of them the last few days, Scott, and they really are just, the change is already happening in this place. There's a temporary structure just outside the perimeter of the site, but it's very much, we're showing that this is an example of what your money can do if you're donating to Comet Relief. It's a real example of what it can do, because there are hundreds and hundreds of communities like this that are in need of healthcare facilities and need help from Comet Relief. So this is just a symbol, really, of directly what your money can do if you are donating to this. And Joseph, you're saying firsthand that you are seeing a difference with the money that is being raised.
Exactly, there's already a very big difference as I speak now. When I look at the combat is now shining so much. And even the temporary structure you have put there, it has attracted the people, even the patients are coming now, many in a big number for treatment, because already the environment has changed, as I speak now.
So it's already the environment has already changed, and people are actually wanting to come here now. That's the difference. People were scared of coming here because it was infested with rats and bats and, you know, horrible creatures and things like that, and it just smelt, and the equipment was unsterile. It was a disgusting place to try and get better in, which seems crazy. To anyone listening at home, imagine you went to a hospital and that hospital made you worse potentially, because it was a filthy, filthy place. And the roof has come off today, Scott. That's been the main job, and we were up there ripping off some of that corrugated iron, and we were smashing down some walls earlier today. And Joseph, we've actually got a new total of today. We are setting ourselves a challenge by the end of my show today to get to £40,000, which will cover the cost of that roof. I can now reveal that as of right now, the amount raised by Radio 1 listeners since this morning alone is a brilliant £23,110.
Wonderful.
That's good, huh?
That's very wonderful.
See, that's only today, and we're not even done to the show. So I'm going to be on with Dev until about 7 o'clock this evening, which will be 10 p.m. local time. Oh my God, that's a long day. And so we will try and get that £40,000 for today. Joseph, thank you so much.
Yes.
And thank you for lending your support to this. But it's your school holidays, right?
Yes. Now the school started today.
Okay.
We're on 2nd.
Who's teaching today then, if you're here?
Yeah, of course. Now, I told the headmaster of the school that allow me be there for the moment, so that because I want this health center to be built. Then after it has been built, then I will come and start teaching.
Okay.
Because even I have some students here. Now the students who are here, they're also getting experience. It's part of the industrial training.
So that's a really important part of it, Scott, actually, is that the local community are being used as well as the workforce to build this thing. So
that means I have got all the permission. I'm not here legally.
No, I know. I was only joking. Don't worry. I'm not going to report you, Joseph. Don't worry, mate. We're okay. But Scott, it's been a brilliant day, brilliant first day. And I'm so grateful to the listeners for getting involved with the story. And it's a no-brainer, really. I mean, the pictures and stuff online tell the story as well. And we've done a blog, and there's stuff on the Radio 1 Instagram and things. And you've been out to very similar projects as well, haven't you, Scott? So you know that what a difference this money makes.
Absolutely. I've visited some hospitals in Uganda, and also previously for Comet Relief, I visited some projects to give people new eyesight, and that was building new clinics in Kenya. And just to see the smile on those people's faces, like as you heard just Joseph then from when we told him the total, it means so much. And anything that you can spare, we would appreciate it so much. And the great thing about Radio 1 listeners is, you know, sometimes money can be hard, but I know that you lot will all pull together on this, and that is a fantastic total, you know, just from day one. And it just needs to keep going up and up for people like Joseph there. His wife gave birth in the old clinic in terrible, terrible conditions. And he heard about the new clinic. He wanted to get a job on the build so just he could create a better life and, you know, better facilities and better wellness for people in the local community. So that is a fantastic figure. Thank you so much, Greg, for that.
Thank you. Joseph wants to say one more thing. Sorry.
Before he goes away, me being a technical teacher, I must be an example to the community. Yeah, that's what I wanted to tell you.
Okay. He is an example to the community. You are an example. You are an example to the community.
Yes, Joseph.
You really are. And you've encouraged many other people to come and volunteer as well.
Exactly.
So you're a remarkable man. And thank you for your time today, Joseph.
Thank you very much.
So that is it. Yeah. So please do text and donate to Comet Relief.
Okay, I'll give you all the details on that now. If you want to go to the Radio 1 website, all the latest pictures and news, you can follow Greg's journey in Uganda right now if you go to the Radio 1 website. We'll speak to you on your show then later on this afternoon. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
And if you want to help us change people's lives, you can text the word help. It really has helped Joseph and his family there, as you can hear. And thousands and thousands, millions of people all across the continent of Africa could really, really do with this cash. So text the word help to 70703. That instantly will donate £3 to Comet Relief. Or if you would like to give any other amount, go to the Radio 1 homepage. You'll find all the terms and conditions on there as well. The money you donate is covering the cost of that clinic. And as you can hear, even though it was, you know, pretty depressing story before, for people there now, things are starting to change, and it's actually quite an uplifting thing for them to see things being changed around them. And that's because of the money that you donate. It doesn't stop there. Like I said, it will help to improve the lives and health which is so important for other communities all across Africa. So if you can, please text HELP to 70703 and that will donate your £3 to Comet Relief. Thanks so much.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Flipping love my job. It's so good to be back.
Yeah.
I really am enjoying it today.
It's nice for you to be back. You're staying around for a while.
Yeah, I'm not going nowhere, honey.
Wicked.
Just called you honey.
Don't call me honey.
Okay, honey. Tell you what, I'm just trying to catch up with everything at the moment. I've got about 8 pairs of white pants that I need to wash tonight and be ready to take back on the tour tomorrow. Because there's one of the dances where I have to wear white pants because I'm wearing white trousers. And if I'm wearing blue or pink pants, you'll see them underneath.
What, have they got concerns about? Why?
They just need to be
extra
white.
Pants?
No.
Pants on top of pants?
No. I'm just wearing white pants because I'm wearing white trousers.
Oh, I thought they were suggesting that you need to double up on tour.
No.
There's some kind of
There's no problem there.
No.
Everything's working fine.
Why are you sharing this?
It's not that. It's just that I've got a job lot of white pants. They've got to go in the laundry tonight on a hot wash.
And you need the white pants because they match the crab outfit.
That's right.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. What else has been going on? I feel like I've really missed a lot.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to tell you about this thing, but then I assumed you'd find out. But do you remember a while ago I would go onto a certain supermarket's website and write reviews under your name for various goods?
Is that the one that Stacey Solomon was the face of?
That's the one.
Yeah.
And I just thought, isn't it funny that I can go on pretending to be Scott Mills and write reviews? Because I just know it would annoy you. And so I did it with beef garlands.
Yes.
I remember once we were talking about beef garlands, I wrote a glowing review for Radio 1's Scott Mills.
Yeah, I know. Well, is this while I've been away?
Yeah, so when you were away, I had another bored moment. I just found myself doing this, my new favourite game. But what I thought I would do is do various crab-related goods, because obviously you'll be in the crab on Strictly. Mm. So what I did, would you like to hear them?
Yes.
Obviously, because you were away, I needed to get a voice which was the nearest thing to Scott Mills that I could find. This voice.
So you've got these kind of voiced up by somebody.
Yeah. This voice.
Hello, I'm the voice of Scott Mills.
But that doesn't sound like me, though.
It does a bit, doesn't
Hello,
it?
Hello, I'm the voice of Scott Mills.
Okay, so then what I did is I went on various different supermarkets, not just the one that you mentioned earlier, and I wrote reviews.
For all crab things.
For different products.
20,
under your name.
Defrost and Eat, Sea Sticks.
Okay.
So this is a review of sea sticks now.
Yes. Now,
yes.
Would you like to hear the review?
Yes, I would.
Review title, Under the Sea Sticks.
Oh, no.
Description. After a hard day's crabbing, I like nothing more than to relax in the bath with these flavored sticks of the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter with a crab stick.
Right. Who is this guy? Is he computer generated?
No, it's your voice.
It's not my voice, though.
Would you like to hear the star rating for that?
Reviewed by Scott Mills, TV's most famous crab.
Okay,
five stars.
I did one of these and then I thought I'd do more. I thought you would have heard about this by now. This is good.
I've been in a bubble.
Next product?
Traditional crab spread. One jar.
Oh, how many of these are there?
Review title, It's Nice to See Another Crab Spread. Review. Oh, what a lovely spread. Me and my partner used to only enjoy chocolate spread, but as soon as we got our claws on this crab spread, we've not looked back or sideways.
Oh, no.
It's just so good because it's like putting your name to these things now.
It's the stamp of approval.
No better way to enjoy the evening. Enjoy with your partner, not one for shellfish lovers.
God, you are really bored. Really bored.
Reviewed by Radio Funny Man Scott Mills.
Brilliant.
5 stars.
One more?
Oh, seriously. How many have you done?
Did loads.
Thai-style salmon fish cakes.
Right,
review
harmless.
Title, Could Thai-style be the new Gangnam Style?
Oh, no.
Review. Just like me, everyone always suspected these have a bit of crab in them. But these cakes ain't no fakes. An even better catch than me. Nom, nom, nom.
Lice?
Yeah, I think so.
Reviewed by Scott Mills / Uncle Fester. Location on tour. Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
It's good.
5 stars.
It's good. Brilliant. You can branch out now. You've got all these nice products associated with yourself.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm doing you a favour, mate. The adverts are going to come rolling in, the offers. All the crab-related goods. We've seen his review on the website. Yeah. Would he like to do the voiceover?
Yes, I'm waiting for the call.
BBC Radio 1.
Mills here. Right, so tonight on Radio 1, They've saved it up for a whole month, and today they will just go bleh onto you, all their stories from the last month. Dan and Phil return for their live show tonight at 9 o'clock on Radio 1. Man, we've missed them. Dan and Phil, tonight from 9 o'clock. And then, oh, hang on, there's a clash. You're going to have to record one of them or get him again on iPlayer. 9:30 is South Side Story. Now, this is the new reality show. Are you aware of this?
I'm not, no. What's going on?
Right, so it's kind of Glee meets Towie or Made in Chelsea, but it's set in South London. So basically, it's called Structured Reality.
Oh, dude, what does that mean? That's a new... So that's different to every other reality, is
well,
it?
Well, I think, obviously, some of the scenes are made for entertainment purposes, but it's a lot of, like, young people in South London who are expressing each other by way of the UK's biggest hits.
What? I'm very confused right now.
Right, now, but does that not make you want to watch it?
Yes, it does, actually.
Okay, so basically, let's say that me and you were having an argument, and you'd be like,
So I start talking to you through, say, Kanye and Paul McCartney?
Yeah, or maybe, like, maybe, I don't know, like...
What are you on about?
I can't think of a situation where I would use a song. Imagine this, us having a conversation.
Yeah.
We would talk about it for a bit, and then you, for example, would burst into song.
Okay, I've got a brand new combine harvester. You mean like that?
Yes, right? and then we would both sing it. But actually, it would be something a bit more modern than that.
I'm so weirded out by this. So when you're away... Okay, I think I get what you mean. So when you're away, let's say I would play to you Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone.
Yes!
Right.
But you'd sing it to me, and the music would come out of nowhere.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you get me?
I think we need to both give this a watch.
Yeah, I really want to see it. I've not had a chance. But basically, it's real lives, it's real young people in South London, but they're all a bit prone to just bursting into song at any particular point.
It sounds really strange.
It's quite an odd thing to get your head around, but I'm all about this. I'm going to be watching this tonight. 9:30, BBC Three, South Side Story. And then on BBC iPlayer, there's ICYMI, which is your thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like loads of highlights from the last week at Radio 1.
Including Meghan Trainor talking to the official chart show, Ellie Goulding napping in the studio on Breakfast, casual, and also Charlie Slough's now infamous fire in the booth from Chip.
Yeah, man.
And Paddy McGuinness talking to Nick Grimshaw, all expertly hosted by my friend Chris.
Exactly. Masterclass.
In case you missed it, it's a roundup of all the best bits from Radio 1, including extra behind-the-scenes bonus material.
I mean, basically, if you're a fan of Radio 1, then you'll really like this show.
And if you've not seen it before, probably a lot of people haven't, there is a Radio 1 iPlayer channel now. So when you get the iPlayer on your tablet or on your TV or on your computer, it'll say BBC 1, BBC 2, BBC 3, and then it's Radio 1 is the next one there. And you can watch us as well as listen to us every
exactly.
day. And that's what your thing ICYMI is all
yeah.
about.
It stands for In Case You Missed It. I get so many people tweeting me saying, what does ICYMI stand for? In case you missed it.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen it yet? Because you say to me that you have.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But I never quite believe that you actually have.
I've not seen this latest one, but I will watch
it. So
you
promise me you'll watch it tonight?
I'll watch it after the show.
And then on the latest one, Greg James tried to distract me during one of the links. Because you know I'm not the most professional at it. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, but you're getting away with it.
But what made it really difficult in this week's ICYMI was as I was doing a link, Greg decided to kind of shout through to the live lounge and he just kept putting me off and putting
Greg.
And I didn't think they would include this in the actual final one.
No, nope, it's
but
all
they
on
did,
there.
Of course they did.
Amazing.
So it's on there.
Get ICYMI on the BBC iPlayer now on the Radio 1 channel. Remember tomorrow on this show, no, it's not tomorrow, Wednesday, sorry, we've got Stephen Fry on the show. That's going to be amazing.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Scott Mills here. Greg is playing Real or No Real in a minute off of Uganda.
Why have you... I've just looked at your Twitter. Why?
Yes.
Why this video?
What?
The pants one.
It's just because we were talking about Comet Relief and we spoke to Greg earlier, and it just reminded me of you riding the lifts here at the BBC.
I'm going to find the video of you on Hole in the Wall.
No, don't.
No, this is the one I always hold back.
No, well, don't.
Why have you got a
Twitter? It just reminded me because we were doing Comet Relief, and it reminded me of the time you rode the lifts at work here in your pants for charity.
I'm just thinking
there's no reason we couldn't do that again.
Also, everything from the thumbnail that they've chosen for it. I'm like a little pasty. I look awful.
Are you turning your back on charity?
No, I'm not,
saying?
But I know that this is just another excuse for you to post that video because it makes you laugh.
Just raised a lot of money, that's all I'm going to say.
I hated the pants that I was in.
Right, we should have worn better ones than that day,
take it down.
You? I'm not taking it down. It's
take it down,
it reminds me of a happy time.
Or I'll put the hole in the wall.
Don't try
up.
And bribe me with the hole in the wall one.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Stop tweeting me when I'm in the room with you. Take that down. I'm not taking the video down.
It feels like I need to talk to you through Twitter.
No.
To try get through to you.
Also, that's shouting, I think you'll find, with the old caps lock on there. Oh.
You're in such an annoying mood today, actually.
Why?
No, do you know why? At first it was quirky. Now it's just like you've been waiting 3 weeks to wind me up.
I'm not winding you up. I just, am I pushing your buttons today?
I think that video was unnecessary. Don't
just
put that video.
Just
you know, I feel a bit self-conscious
just,
about it.
Oh no, but it's a really good thing to do. Raise loads of money for Comet Relief.
Yeah, but that's not why you've put it off, is it?
It is.
Well, you've put it at the beginning of it. Lol.
It is funny. The Scott Mills Daily. Greg James is in Uganda. Hello.
We've just returned to base camp at the moment. We've just got back. I'm so pleased I made it in time for Real or No Real. This has been it's my little treat for the day.
Oh, okay. Well, let's treat you to my first Real or No Real back in charge again. Have you been doing this while I've been off?
Yeah, yes, we have, of
okay,
course.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I hope we've got some facts left. Let's see.
Today is the Queen's first day back after her Christmas break.
Oh, it's like me.
It's quite late for a first day back, isn't it? I mean, we are in the second month of the year.
Can I just say that I know I've been off for ages, but I actually did work all over Christmas. So just
same.
You don't have to excuse it, love. You've been busy with your dancing shoes on.
And I though I have. But is it today the first day back at work after the Queen's Christmas break, Chris?
I think, I mean, it is quite late in the day, but I think the Queen has more of an excuse than you. Clearly, this is something that famous people do. They start work in February.
You can't call the Queen famous.
Yeah, you can. Why not?
No, it's not the same.
Is it not?
No, I don't think you can.
She's the most famous person in the world.
Yeah, yes. But she wouldn't be like, oh, hello, I'm famous. No, it's not like that.
She's an A-lister.
No, she's not. No, she would hate that.
She's on her own list.
Yeah, I know. Greg, what do you think?
Well, I think this is probably real, because I hope that she doesn't go round sort of asking people how their Christmases were and sort of saying Happy New Year, because you would reply with, it's February, ma'am. But I think this is probably real. I mean, she you know, if you're the Queen, you can do what you like. If you're on a stamp, you can do what you like.
But she does work very hard. She has a lot of engagements to do throughout the year. She just starts a bit
absolutely
later.
Yeah, so like yourself.
Yes. So, Chris, real or no real?
I'm going to go real.
Greg, what are you saying today, please?
Yeah, I think she also probably does Dry January. I'm going to say real.
That one is real.
Yeah, that's right. The Queen leaves for her Christmas break in Sandringham during December, and today has gone back to full service, opening a fire station in Norfolk.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Thanks for the news.
And
that feels like the most bizarre thing to hear while sat in the middle of Uganda.
Yes. And next.
A search for the Loch Ness Monster in 2009 didn't find any trace of the monster, but did find around 100,000 lost golf balls.
Where are we up to with this Loch Ness Monster, then? Is it on?
A bit who now, isn't it?
I would say it is a bit who.
But 100,000 golf balls. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Everyone, well, I mean, actually, no, it doesn't make sense, because the only reason you'd go to that lock is to find the monster. It's not really a place you'd go for golf, is it, Gregor?
Well, I don't know. It might be if there's a golf course nearby. I don't really know the area, but I imagine there's probably, you know, golf's pretty big in Scotland. There's lots of wide open spaces around the lock. I reckon there could be quite a lot of golf courses around, or maybe just people are chancing their arm thinking, well, if I keep hitting, I might knock him out and he might float to the surface.
I do remember going to Inverness and actually going on a tour to try and find Nessie. And
you haven't gone to find,
yes,
find
I have.
Nessie, have
yeah,
you?
You can do that.
This, I didn't know
did
this
you go
about
with
you.
A? Did you go with a positive attitude thinking, oh, it might happen to me?
No, I didn't. But I was bitterly disappointed when I didn't see the actual monster. What a rip-off.
Yeah.
But I mean, so the big mystery is there's a monster in the bottom of Loch Ness, right? But no one's questioning why there's 100,000 golf balls, which itself is an incredible feat of nature.
But isn't the Loch Ness monster a bit like Yvette Fielding on Most Haunted?
Once
she finally sees a ghost, she's out of a job, isn't she?
It's true. When you went on your Nessie tour, did someone lob a stone or a golf ball into the water and say, oh, there it is, there's a splash? No. Is that what it is?
So, real or no real?
That is what it is.
Real or no real?
Their whole tourism plan. I saw a ripple over there, look.
So the Loch Ness Monster in 2009 didn't find any trace of the monster, but did find hundreds of thousands of lost golf balls. Greg, what are you saying about this?
I'm going to say real.
Mm. I think my golf ball theory is correct. Real.
That one is real.
Yes, it is.
Yay!
There is a golf course on the shores of Loch Ness, but no one was expecting quite so many of the shots to have gone awry. And what about this one on Real or No Real for your Monday?
Like the royal family, the cast of the Strictly Come Dancing live tour have to travel on several separate tour buses in case one of them crashes.
Well, that's cheery news for me, isn't it?
Oh. I mean, the only reason I think that was... I think the reason's not real. I think the only reason you had gone separate tour buses is because maybe you kicked off, Scott.
Mm, that's not true at all. I'm the least evil-like person, you know, but...
That does beg the question, who's the most?
Well, I'm just saying that me and Rachel Stevens can't travel together. Imagine the loss to the general public.
So what...
Who would get more column inches?
Your biggest diva on tour at the moment, Scott, please. Who is it?
What do you mean?
Who's the diva?
There aren't any. We all muck in together.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Well, and you all travel separately. Can you say if that's real or no?
We all have our moments, but what? No. We all travel together.
Oh, well, then,
apart from I didn't yesterday.
Then this is no real.
Greg, what are you saying?
He's giving it away.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say no real. I'm not a fool. No real.
Okay. So you think we all travel together mostly, apart from when one of us can't be bothered to get the bus?
Yeah, a big happy fun bus.
That one is no real.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one more.
Is it bunks
for you.
Then? What's it like, bunks?
No, we don't sleep on it. We just travel on it.
Is it top and tail?
It's not top and tail.
it's just for show.
No, it gets you from one place to the other.
The bus has arrived, but everyone's turning up on train.
No, I got the train yesterday. That's because I wouldn't be in time for the show today if I got a bus. It's very complicated. One more.
It is now against the law to sell a walking stick with "this sick beat" written on it without first asking permission from Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you heard correctly. It's now against the law to sell a walking stick with "this sick beat" written on it. You've got to ask Swifty first.
Well, why would you have "this sick beat" written on it unless you're going to hit someone with it?
I don't know.
I don't really understand.
I don't understand this one, because why would the walking stick have the words on it? It's a strange merchandising opportunity from Taylor Swift, if that's the case. But she might
really
be trying to... while she's trying to take over the world, maybe she's appealing to the older generation. Therefore, she's got these heavily branded walking sticks, and no one's allowed to copy them.
I don't really understand it, so let me just get an answer from you, Chris, and Greg.
Real.
I think it's very paranoid to think that everything's going to be with your words on it, including walking sticks. But it does sound quite big American pop star, so I'm going to say real.
That one is real.
Yes, over the weekend, some journalists discovered that Taylor has trademarked lots of her lyrics from her latest album, which means you can't sell products that use her lyrics. Now, the ban is very extensive. Includes T-shirts, stickers and bags, typewriters and walking sticks, napkin holders, paintbrushes, Christmas tree ornaments and whips, harnesses and saddlery.
Oh, good to know.
So if you're thinking of getting a walking stick with "this sick beat" on it, don't.
Or
otherwise she'll sue you. Or a whip. And the end of that round of Real or No Real.
Well, me and Greg answered exactly the same. I got 40, Greg got 40.
We got 40. That's great news.
Yep. Yeah, good news.
I like the satellite delay, because you can't. It's going to be like one way or the other way. He's really excited or really, really disappointed.
I think Greg's putting it on.
Right, so we will chat to Greg tomorrow, and obviously he'll be appearing in his own show next, which Deb is doing. I'll speak to you tomorrow, Greg.
Thank you, everybody, and thanks for today. Thanks for the donations and stuff.
Those are the best bits of Monday's show. Come join us tomorrow, 1 p.m. on BBC Radio 1. Remember, Wednesday, we've got Steve and Fry on the show.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.